Thorn in Your Side is a podcast recorded on the various lands of First Nations peoples, land that always was and always will be Aboriginal land. While there's air that is breathed and water that nourishes and provides, ownership of this land remains unresolved. Respects are paid to elders past and present in the ongoing quest for self-determination and reclamation of land.
Thorn in your side, you know that's all you'll ever be.
Hello everyone, this is Thorn in Your Side, this is M. It's been a bit of a break between episodes. Again, another attempt to get back into it. The reason why I've taken a break on this occasion, very much largely due to personal health reasons. I've pretty much felt the arse end of the pandemic, I think. While it has been something of an impact upon everyone, I think for me, during the pandemic, it was basically 2 to 3 years of sustained hypervigilance and hyperactivity. And I think at the end of last year, and as well as working within a high-performing job at the time, all of that culminated in my brain thinking, well, Michael, you're at a time right now where you don't necessarily need to have your foot on the accelerator and at a high gear all the time. Therefore, as the amygdala part of your brain and reasoning, I'm going to hijack the fuck out of you, and you can do nothing about it.
Son, your ego is writing checks your body can't cash.
So, that's pretty much what went down earlier in the year, and since then I've been thinking about taking care of myself, a lot of self-care, and trying to find ways to make sure that I don't have another episode like this again, save needing to go through maybe another worldwide pandemic experience. Who knows? Let's see. But you can only really do what you've got control of. So for me, it's been pretty much trying to get back into the world. I've thought that doing podcasting is something that I got a lot of joy and satisfaction out of doing previously, so I thought that's something to return to. A couple of other hobbies that I've decided to either take on or return to. In one instance, I've rediscovered drawing, something I thought that I kind of grew out of as a child, but I'm very much learning that some of these things that it's okay to pretty much come back to, says the kid, or says the adult male who has never really grown out of stopped watching Transformer episodes, if there's any ironic value to that at all. I think for me, the lessons so far have been to just try to keep things well balanced and varied. I'm hoping that with this podcasting, it can act as something of an activist outlet still. I'd like to try to use the podcasting as a means to connect with people, and also to try a couple of new things.
So you want to layer audio, huh?
Yeah.
File, export. I'm going to save it as Z.
With my mate John, I'll look to regularly do the political, pop culture, deconstruction, extrapolation, social commentary things that we've tended to do on several occasions so far in the Thorn in Your Side series. So we might look to return to that on a sustained basis. We do have an idea to do a Barbenheimer listen react episode, hopefully in the near future.
Marty, together we're gonna beat those Nazis. And we're gonna look so good doing it.
Hey, Barbie, can I come to your secret laboratory later?
Sure. I don't have any plans. Just giving humanity the means to destroy itself.
Another idea is also to do a bit of a political reader series with a mate of mine, and there's a couple of texts that we can think of having a read through and having a chat and chew over. And also, if there's anyone out there in listener land that is thinking of wanting a particular book that they'd like for me to have a bit of read through and have a bit of an ascertain over and think and application toward, then by all means, let me know. So, and thirdly, I'd like to try to create a bit of a panel type environment. So that's the third format. And I've reached out to several people, and so far I've had some pretty good feedback and stuff in the affirmative and potentials. So hopefully there's a pool of usual suspects to draw upon. This has been something I've tried to have a go at doing previously to varied effect. I think this latest enforced break kind of put a stop to the rhythm of trying to start something up. But there was a couple of occasions where I was able to get a bit of a group session thing happening. So I know that I'm capable of doing that stuff now. So I'm thinking now to actually try to do that a bit more frequently and perhaps maybe even try to look to do a whole group and facilitate a whole group. By a whole group, I mean four. One extra person, but I just like to make things sound a bit more grand. But that's the third format, and that's what I'd like to try to have a go at doing as well. So there is some intentions with trying to further the podcasting project, and again that idea of trying to venture into YouTube. It has been something that I have acted as a bit of the holy grail for me, I think, to try to pop it over into a new type of social media format where people can see mine and other podcasting attendees' mugs while we do a potential live screening and doing a podcasting episode. But I think what's kind of going to try give me a fighting chance on this occasion will be the introduction of a production team that I've looked to do in the background.
And I'm putting together a special team, and I need me soldiers.
So hopefully when you listen to this episode, it might have a bit of a strong editing quality to it. Who knows? But I'm hoping the benefit of that is a more regular frequency of podcasts and also being able to properly manifest that three format idea that I've just mentioned earlier. So with any luck and with a lot of confidence, we're looking to see if we can make this project grow bigger and better and something that would be of even greater appeal to listeners and hopefully trying to foster a community sense of listenership as well, because I think that's been a barrier for me, trying to find ways of making this more user-friendly and more interactive and allowing the audience to become a bit more active.
Now all we need is a little energon and a lot of luck.
What I have done since taking the break is looking to make a bit more of a team approach to it rather than just me trying to drive everything and whilst everyone's helping out here and there. This time I've kind of reached out for a little bit more help. And also the other thing I'm looking to do is potentially monetizing it as well if there is an increase in popularity. And by doing that, it's not so much to bolster any grandiose designs on being a potential social media influencer. Not so. Rather, it's a chance for me to potentially compensate those that are very much helping me out with the production and potentially even the participation of each podcasting episode. So that's another aspect that I want to introduce as well, the funding aspect. So we're looking at a couple of platforms to see what might be useful with that. I think for me at the moment, the importance here is really appreciating the idea of well-being. I'd say as something as recent as 2 months ago, I think I would have found something like doing the podcasting, something a bit far away and a bit too difficult. It's a bit weird. Because when I do the podcasting, it's in the past, it's kind of been second nature to me. I have been used to talking on such a platform and potentially to a wide audience. But I think over the last half year, because of circumstances, I've pretty much had to kind of mentally rebuild a few aspects of my life, and it's looking like this is potentially one of them. So just while I'm talking, it's a bit more of a forced effort to have a bit of a think in my head, and the words come out for what I'm thinking. That's something that I've had to do a bit of a retraining on. And I think hopefully it'll be for the better. Hopefully it'll be resulting in a better delivery of what I need to say and what I would like to say and some of the things I'd like to cross over. So I think that's one of the benefits of potentially well-being, and hopefully I'm not going to get in the habit. And I think I really erred onto the edge on this previous times with this project, that I was pretty much just trying to smash and churn out episodes just for the sake of it. Like, I was really pushing myself to try to get things out on a weekly basis, and it became a bit of a grind at some point. And I think it kind of takes a bit of the sap out of potentially what you want to talk about and how you want to get about and how you want to get from A to B in a podcast episode. All of that kind of gets a bit tuned down a bit when you're putting that pressure on yourself to make sure you're making a weekly deadline, as it was back then. At the moment, there's challenges for me to juggle. I am actively looking for work now, because it was a break in the biggest sense of it that I needed to take the time off. So now looking to try to get back into the work. And there has been a slew of interviews, which I've been thankful for. And I'm potentially looking at a job offer shortly, I think, fingers crossed. But I am still trying to put the toes and the feet and the whole trunk into the water and seeing what the temperature is. And I think, yeah, a couple of times I've thought, well, yep, the balls are starting to shrivel up here with the coldness of it all. But I think it has been for the best. And if anything, I think just kind of having the experience of being in a job interview and talking, presenting oneself to a bunch of strangers, it's kind of given me a bit of a dry run for getting back into the podcasting. So with the interviews, I guess that's an unintended side benefit. I suppose these are the things that kind of spin off into other things in terms of the organic value of pursuits. And but one thing that is a bit of a bother or a conundrum for me is that, like, when I am applying for the work, like, I think this has probably been the first real time that I've actually started consciously applying for stuff while having a postgraduate qualification in tow. If there wasn't for a pandemic, and if there wasn't for all the mental health impacts relating to the pandemic, I think this would have been something I could have been doing like a few years ago. I did get the postgrad in 2020. It only feels like last year, but yeah, I keep checking the date, and the date tells me I've done it nearly 3 years ago. Took me a little while to do the math. So there is a little bit of an aspect of making up for lost time, but one of the things I am noticing is that it is a very much a bear market. One of the intentions of getting the post, and I might talk about this a little bit more, maybe to flesh out the episode a bit more as a lone wolf, but one of the things I was kind of expecting when getting a postgrad was thinking, well, this takes me a step up in the community services world. I mean, I like working within that. I'm very passionate about it. I don't really want to do a job just for the sake of something that keeps me alive. You know, the food, the paying the bills and whatnot. Something that where I know that in some way I am kind of making a difference and an impact, and it's not a bullshit job. It's something meaningful. So that's what I've been trying to do this time around, but it has been very competitive. I know that there has been talk about a recession potentially arising within Australia later this year. I'm kind of the theory that recessions aren't really a flick on and off type thing. It's not like someone can wake up in the morning and then say, oh, it's now a recession, like it is with Christmas time, and you know that it's Christmas because there's a tree and the fat red man that sponsors Coca-Cola has been there last night in your house. Doesn't sound creepy at all when you actually unpack that myth. But anyway, that recession thing is not a black and white on-off switch. I think it happens in patches. I think it can be defined very much by which labor market you're in. So I'm doing community services. I suspect that there is a bit of a contraction that's happening at the moment. And I can put that down to a couple of reasons. I think the first reason is that there is a bit of recovery that's happening from the pandemic. I can remember my experience during the pandemic, like working in community services, where because it involves an amount of human contact, interaction, and assistance, that pretty much got hampered by being unable to do a lot of that face-to-face stuff. And a lot of the resources were minimized as a consequence. And also that there was a very uncertain, at the time, uncertain idea of how to move forward within pandemic times. The stuff that we take advantage of now, like greater synergy between mediums, like using a laptop and using a smartphone and having all the interfaces with all of that thereof, that's improved and stuff that we take for granted now. And also the idea of using Zoom meetings, like having online meetings and meeting face-to-face. Back at the start of the pandemic, all of that was quite alien and it was a bit of a novelty, but these days very much to the fore. And even as the pandemic recedes, it's been something that, at least on the professional basis, people have still adhered to as good communication practice. But within community services more specifically, I think they really need to have that return back to the face-to-face stuff. But we're still trying to have a look at what that recovery within community services looks like. And I think that brings me to the second aspect, where in my neck of the woods, I've recently encountered two changes of government. So at a federal level and at a state level, that has serious impacts, definitely historically anyway, as precedents upon how fundings usually work within community services. So if you can kind of just imagine the fact that with a change of government, things stop in the sense that there's almost like a bit of auditing, either formally or informally, that happens with the incoming government, where they have a look at what's been previously done. And I think there was a lot of auditing that has happened this time around, because I think there has been a lot of loud noise that's come, and particularly at the federal level, that there were shenanigans that were happening with the prior government. We can think of various examples of what Scott did.
While acknowledging the regrettable, again, the regrettable unintended consequence and impacts of the scheme on individuals and families, I do, however, completely reject each of the adverse findings against me in the Commission's report as unfounded and wrong. The latest attacks on my character by the government in relation to this report is just a further attempt by the government, following my departure from office, to discredit me and my service to our country during one of the most difficult periods our country has faced since the Second World War.
But I think what has been consistent here is that a lot of things have suddenly been under the microscope. And one of those I can particularly think of is NDIS. I suspect that there's going to be a big change with that in the next few months. It could be a big policy ticket item. At the moment, the big social policy focus right now is trying to introduce the voice referenda. I think maybe after that, because it seems like what this present Labor federal government likes to do is just try the one trick at a time. It might be a one-term trick. It might be just per the issue as it arises. So the referendum will happen in November. I would anticipate that maybe they'll have a crack at NDIS next year and basically lead that into the next federal election. And of course, the on-the-ground impact for that would be some fundamental changes to how both client and worker underneath this national disability scheme, how both groups encounter and experience and utilize this scheme as stakeholders. So in a long-winded way, the second aspect of the community services market is that there's a lot of people just kind of waiting with bated breath to see what happens and seeing what financial models might be introduced per funding, new funding arrangements with community services. So Will it create more jobs? Will it lessen jobs? Will it change the actual scope and design of work within the community services sector? I think for me, I'm seeing it immediately with a sudden flurry and dramatic increase of a workforce that identify as peer workers. That is something that it's where I'm potentially having a pending job offer for, to work as a peer worker, given that I've disclosed that I have a lived experience. Just as a bit of clarification, a peer worker is a worker that identifies professionally as having a prior acute mental health presentation, either in the thick of recovery or have had successful recovery from said presentation, and are happy to identify and disclose their experience when providing service to workers to clients that present with similar symptoms and really in the acute phase. That's feeling like a very normal thing to do now, whereas a few years ago there was a lot of loadedness about it, in the sense that when you're kind of being a peer worker, you're potentially making your wheelhouse a bit narrowed, because you put your hand up and you say that you've got a lived experience back in those times. Suddenly there is a bit of judgment there, and to think, well, you might need a bit of support, you might need a bit of attention with just as much that you deliver the service as it is with actual interaction and work with clients, to the point where, what does a peer worker mean, that they're actually a client themselves? So there's a bit of confusion over that as well. So I think over the last few years, coinciding with the pandemic duration, that there has been a marked shift over understanding what a peer worker can do and the role that they play. So I'm putting some skin in the game potentially with regards to that. And so that's another example of the changing scope of community services. So these are the challenges and opportunities that have presented themselves under the new normal. But I think the point that I've really tried to drive through, and I think this is pretty much a hangover from previous podcasting episodes, is that this has been a seismic shift, at least for me personally. And I think it's something that needs a bit more visibility and a bit more attention. I think people are a bit knackered and a bit whipped at the moment in terms of the demands day to day to actually properly stop and check and stock take mentally over what's going on and how things are traveling. So that's probably one of the things, or one of the objectives I like to try to achieve with this podcast too, to potentially try to draw some attention to some of these aspects and topics that might otherwise be somewhat invisible or have less noise about them. So it's something that I want to try to have a crack at doing. So, everyone of varied genders, that's pretty much what I want to try to get off the top of my head at this point in time as a lone wolf episode. Moving forward, I'm hoping I can do something with old mate John, by having a look at Barbenheimer. We'll see. Fingers crossed. Otherwise, there's the other format stuff that I'm thinking about having a crack at. But in the meantime, if you've got any ideas, feel free to give me a bell. I've got a presence now on Podbean and all the major podcasting platforms. But best way to communicate with me is the Thorn in Your Side Facebook page. I've also got stuff on Instagram, on X, as it's now called. I'm sure I'm going to be talking about that in the near future as well. X, placeholder social media. And Threads, the new anti-X, I suppose, from Meta. So all of those, I think. I feel like I'm always missing out stuff wherever I'm rattling out all the different ways I present myself, but that sounded good. But all else fails, yeah, just flick us a message on Facebook. I'll get back to you. I'm pretty diligent with that shit. So hope to get in touch with people and hopefully a chance for connections with this project and an ongoing continuation. So in the meantime, folks, stay frosty and stay well. See ya.